Brazil's Senate is in the midst of a marathon debate over whether President Dilma Rousseff should face a full impeachment trial. A vote is expected any time soon, like literally imminently, but the numbers indicate the vote will almost certainly go against her. The president is accused of illegally manipulating finances to hide a growing public deficit ahead of her re-election in 2014, accusations she denies. Dr. Fabricio Bastos is a visiting fellow at the Australian National Centre for Latin American Studies and joins us to explain it all. Thank you so much for your time. It's just after 6 o'clock in the morning in Brazil and the debate has been going all night. When can we expect a vote and what do you think the outcome will be?
Yeah, good evening, Patricia. Yes, they started at 10 a.m. yesterday and now it's 6 in the morning and they still not finished. The public attorney is speaking now, so probably in more than 1 hour they will start the proceedings for voting.
And what do you think the outcome will be?
Well, according to the numbers, 71 senators registered for speaking over this whole session. So 50 declared themselves in favor to vote to impeach Dilma Rousseff.
So if a simple majority votes in favor, which is what's expected.
Yes. This is the second step of the impeachment process. The first one was accepting what the lower house handed down, the accusations. The second step is accepting the commission of the Senate for prosecute Dilma Rousseff. So the third step will be a 6 months long investigations, and the fourth step was properly the judgment. This is the proceeding.
So ultimately, okay, so the vote happens.
Yep.
Will Ms. Rousseff be automatically suspended from office? What happens then after the vote in about an hour's time?
She's been suspended in a couple of hours. It's, as a matter of fact, there's no escape for her. And the replacement will be the Vice President Michel Temer. He will take office, according to the newspapers in Brazil, at 3 p.m. And this is the immediate effect. He's a president, acting president.
Is he considered to be a safe pair of hands?
Well, the numbers of polls in Brazil are saying that 70% of people support an impeachment process, but at the same time, 60% of people are saying that they don't want Temer in office. So it's a bit odd thinking about that. It's safe or not with people not supporting the government, but the government taking office after impeachment process. It's an unstable moment there.
Yeah, well, the whole thing's very unstable. So how long does he sort of fill in as president until there is an election for a directly elected president?
What happens? Next election will be scheduled to 2018. So there's as a poem in Brazil, there's a rock in the middle of the way. So if the electoral court says that the problems with the campaign, Rousseff and Temer, are true, even Temer can be ended up, his mandate can be ended up in January of 17. So probably in 18, but I can't tell you what's going to happen to new elections, if it's 17 or 18, formally 18.
And what are Dilma Rousseff's options after she is impeached? What is she likely to do? Is there any talk about that?
It's an interesting question because she's like a ghost. She's still president, but she cannot do anything. She'll be still at the Planalto Palace as a president with the whole staff and the privilege as a president, but she cannot act politically. Her idea from now on is running the country to defend herself against the accusations, because again, she's not finished politically, but it's technically possible she's coming back to be a president. But politically, I personally think she's dead.
Scuffles have taken place outside the government buildings in Brasilia, where police have used tear gas against pro-Rousseff demonstrators. Can we expect much social unrest as a result of this vote? Because it's an extraordinary thing to impeach a president. What will be the kind of implications of that decision?
It's traumatic, Patricia. I said a couple of days ago that we're leading the number of impeachment in the world because it's 4 president democratically elected since 88. And now we have 2 impeached. So the social convulsion is expected at some point, especially for the supporters of Workers' Party in Rousseff. But I really believe that's not violent. Once it's settled, probably the fights will be more parliamentary than in the streets. There'll be no turmoil in the streets. I really disbelieve in that.
President Rousseff made a last-ditch appeal to the Supreme Court to stop the proceedings, but the move was rejected. Was that a healthy sign of the independence of the judiciary there, or is the court overtly political in its judgments?
Well, the Supreme Court has no power on this process. The Supreme Court only can judge what's going to be the process. It's part of the process. The president of the Supreme Court will guide the senators in the investigation process. But the senators, according to the Constitution, are the judge of a political judgment, as is impeachment. So it's a sign of independence, yes. But I'd say that the judiciary in Brazil these days are a bit muscly, because it's hard to explain in a way that the whole judiciary is inefficient, is almost expensive all the time. But in this case specifically, it's not working as bad as it could be, because it's a constitutional court. The Supreme Court is a constitutional court. It's different from the other levels of justice in Brazil. But yes, kind of.
Just finally, before we wrap up, the Olympics are on the horizon, yep, too, less than 3 months away. Do you expect the political instability to affect the preparations for the Olympics?
No, not actually. The investment on the Olympics have been made over the last 10 years. So in the federal level, no, there's no problems. The federal government, it's a good thing. Dilma and Temer agreed that they have to keep the sports minister because of the Olympics. So politically safe. The problem actually is the budget of the subnational level, because the government real has a serious problem on the budget. So maybe what they could do is, in the case of running out of money to support some basic public goods like security or transportation, what they can do is calling the federal government for army to guarantee the security, or some loans to keep running some basic services.
Dr. Fabrizio, thank you so much for your time. We will certainly keep watching this closely. We're going to break in an hour. That's Dr. Fabrizio Bastos. He's a visiting fellow at the Australian National Centre for Latin American Studies. You're listening to RN Drive.
Want to hear about the best party in town this election season? It's a new podcast with me, Frank Kelly.
And me, Patricia Carvelis.
The Party Room, your essential guide to this federal election. Subscribe now. Simply search for The Party Room in your podcast app.
Or listen via the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.